with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From the Ocala Breeders' Sale Company, Ocala, Florida, Marion County, a very good Wednesday race fan. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. Good morning. The kind of foggy morning has burned off like it seems to do in Florida. Beautiful day in Ocala. There it is. Jimmy Ventura joining us off of a very successful day two. We may have a first. We may have the Venturas together.
Tommy did confirm, but that doesn't, I'm not
doesn't
sure.
Doesn't guarantee?
Well, in the middle of the wholesale, he might get be pulled in about six different directions between here and there. So, but he did say he was coming over.
And like a jack in the box, there he is. This is a unique opportunity, and the first time we can present, and not the band, not the West Coast, right?
No.
Surf rock kind of band, the Venturas. This is Jimmy and Tommy, and I haven't seen you until this morning, which is sort of bizarre that it could be here for two straight days and not get a chance to actually talk until today, but that's all right. Obviously off to a terrific start here the first 2 days, some unique results, Tom, and some market conditions affecting results, which is always the case.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the quality of the horses is excellent, and in the very high end, there's certainly a lot of competition. We see different entities playing at the very top, so that's good to see a variety of buyers at that end, and then there is an awful lot of traffic in the barns, has been all week, and as a result, the horses are getting sold. The buyback rate's a little higher than we hoped, but an awful lot of post sales taking place right now, and so I think it'll keep drifting down. But excellent sale so far, and super happy with the way things are going, and the very appreciative of what the consigners have brought to us. You know, we're only as good as the horses we get to sell. And certainly the consigners have brought those horses.
Yesterday, and we will talk to John Secure this morning from Hill and Dale, because Good Magic with a breakthrough sale. And it started actually on day one with the $725,000 that went late in the sale. And then yesterday, that hip 546, which everybody was anticipating. I don't know if they necessarily anticipated 2 million, but Donato Lanny signing for Amer Zidane, Baffert on the phone with Zidane, Lanny handling the bidding, and this is obviously a home run horse for
Top Line,
right, as the consigner, but for Good Magic, who was really a timing, one of those magical timing things where, as a yearling, when the yearlings were being sold last fall, he had not really, his first crop hadn't really, made a splash yet. And then, much like Arrogate, all of a sudden they started to win as they matured into the third trimester of the year. And the people that got on board with, it seems, with the Good Magics are going to get paid handsomely here this spring.
Yeah, no question. So one of the things that last year's freshman crop of sires was very, very good. I've got the list, the top 10 in front of me. We have a horse by every one of them. You got Bolt Bureau,
right.
Good Magic, Army Mule, Justify, Gervin, Sharp Aztec, a Mendelssohn, Motown, Oscar Performance, and City of Light. Those horses are all legitimate sires, and top-end horses can produce top-end horses, and that's not always the case. You know, the freshman sires, you come in with that question mark, see if their race record translates to their offspring, but so that's it's exciting. And then, of course, you got the new crop, you know, coming in that everybody gets a first chance to look at.
Well, and there's been plenty of those successes too, but it did seem yesterday with three seven-figure sellers, the $2 million Good Magic, the Arrogate that Mr. Yoshida is going to bring to Japan, which went for $1,050,000, and then the Twirling Candy colt, Hip 433 out of Divine Dawn, that was $1 million seller. Sean Flanagan, who's made a splash here at the sale, and having a handful of people working with him, John Kimmel, and Safi Joseph's going to do the training, and Jeff Mekor is sort of the bloodstock, one of the other bloodstock advisors. So Flanagan, who's made a real splash here, as well as this. What can you tell us about Parks Investment, who again yesterday reached deep? They bought a Hertrick Fielding bred Arrogate filly, which was the top female, for $950,000. And then on Monday, they had bought a pair as well. They bought the $375,000 Union Rags, and there was another. And the girls yesterday, I asked the TDN team, and Jess and Christina were going to go try to find out more.
Yeah, I think if that's the right horse, I think that's Lee Searing.
CRK.
And that's CRK, and that's just a name that they're using to buy this year. Maybe it's a different investment group, but I believe that's who that is, because I know they were very excited. I think that's the horse, the Arrogate Filly. It was a McCroklin horse, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's the horse that they had half a row of people sitting in there bidding on that horse, and certainly have had success out of this sale and out of the two-year-old sales here. So it's nice to see, and it's always nice to have the principals here bidding on the horses.
Well, you look at the tally sheet, and there was the other park. The other one was the Curlin Filly on day one as well. So there three splashy filly purchases at least, and in fact now that you say that, I'm thinking about one of the recaps. John Sheriffs was with Searing, right? Was
correct.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
yes.
What that. Okay.
Yeah, and there was a quote somewhere I read about. It's always nice to buy John Sheriffs a nice horse.
There you go.
And that was Lee Searing's quote.
You know, it's funny how each day there's different stars, and you see certain names, you know, repeating. That does feel like you've had a nice array here. And now, you know, into day three, we'll maybe look at a couple of hips, but... you know, in terms of a variety of big names, you know, Kaleem Shah on Monday, right, with the City of Light Philly, the Highling Brats, I think, bought three on Monday. I don't know if they dipped down again yesterday. Yeah, a little bit of everything. You've got some of these, you know, some of the partnership concepts, Spendthrift and Frank Fletcher, Sienna and the Windstar Maverick racing team, etc. So there's
everything. I think the domestic buying bench is very strong right now. You know, when we have a pretty good group of Japanese buyers here dipping in, and in addition to that $1 million horse, and they've had a lot of success. We've got one of them on the cover, Cafe Faro.
Yeah.
The highest earning American Faro, and on the dirt, you know, when he kind of has a lot of decent top quality turf horses, you know, Cafe Faro went over to Japan, ran very well, ran just a couple weeks ago in the Saudi Cup, ran third, and is running this weekend in the Dubai World Cup. So we're hoping for the best there.
Well, that not only is there this the sale connection, but in fact, when I was in Vegas and was with Jerry McClellan, Paul Papa's cousin and racing manager, and we were talking about Cafe Faro, because of course produced out of Paul's Mary's Follies, that has been so
you know, so productive for one of the great people in the game that is gone way too soon. He'd be here. He'd be here buying sub as well.
Hands up, no doubt about it.
Today, Tom, and as you kind of wind things up, some thoughts about there's always people that get turned away, and not that they get desperate because they get Petey Miller. They got to fill orders. It is the first round, obviously, and everybody's going to be back here for April, which, you know, is the next opportunity. Talk about some expectations here, and how the season proceeds from here.
I think today there's no other than the alphabetical sorting by Dan, there's no distinction between day one, day two, and day three. They're
right.
They're all the same. We just alphabetize by Dan, and we shift the starting Dan. We go by Dan, and we shift that letter that we start with, and so it just so happens that the catalog lays how it lays. But just going through the book last night and kind of seeing what's coming up, I think early on we'll have some top end horses sell, and I hopefully the momentum from the first 2 days will carry through.
A couple of Into Mischiefs today that I can see and justify a little bit later into the afternoon. Quality Road, who actually, I'm not sure how many, I have to look. I don't know how many Quality Roads were in the sale, but a little surprised, just two actually. A little surprising not to see a Quality Road make a splash. So maybe this one, this is the opportunity. Hip 759 today out of a Bernardini mare, a filly.
As Tommy said, these consigners, they know what they have. They know the ones that are maybe a little bit more early, and they'll target March versus April versus June. So, Quality Roads typically get better later, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. Another horse kind of along the same lines would be Curlin. Wouldn't expect to have super precocious Curlins, but the Curlin filly that sold on day one, and then the one that sold yesterday for $950,000, the colt, were both more precocious looking horses, and I think the consigners do a very good job, and we work very closely with them. We push the closing date, the final, with the printer to the very bitter end so that, we get the best feedback that we can from them so that the horses that, make it into the March catalog are the ones that are really the ones that are making the progress through their training that they're going to show their best in March.
But what's interesting on that topic, actually, when you look at these sales sheets and the results sheets, and all you see at the top are two turn horses, are two turn stallions. It's obvious. The Justify on Monday for $1.2 million. The Uncle Mo's can kind of go either way. The Good Magic, Arrogate, Frosted, City of Light, middle distance probably. We'll still wait and see. That Union Rags that we talked about with the TDN girls yesterday, that Curlin filly that was in the 300s, and then same thing yesterday. Arrogate, Twirling Candy, Curlin, Bernardini, Arrogate. It's everybody wants a two turn horse.
Yeah, I mean those are the ones that jump through the hoops that go. Go quick on the track, gallop out well, look like a two-turn horse at the barn, and you start ticking all the proverbial boxes. That's how they drift to the top of the class. Those are the LeBron James. You just don't know where the Tom Brady's are coming from, and that's that's the magic, you know, the million-dollar horses are the ones that are the prototypical horses and nice horses, and if everything goes well, they become really nice horses, like a Colonel Liam, who was a million-dollar two-year-old. But then there's always the Medina Spirits that's $35,000 two-year-old and a $1,000 yearling. So that's the beauty of the game, you know, not all of the horses that bring the top dollar don't always become the best horses, and everybody has a chance.
And even pedigree and just genetic-wise, right, everything's just because it's a curling doesn't mean certain things. I mean, obviously, Tommy and I are full siblings, and looking at our body types, you know, I got to the feed tub before he did most often, and he was a lot faster, and they clocked me with a calendar. So, you know, you just don't know sometimes what comes out.
But at the same time, you know, LeBron James' mother is more likely to have a basketball player than Mrs. Ventura.
and I'm sure when John Secura turns up this morning, he'll talk about this good magic colt yesterday. The superlatives that were being thrown around in terms of, and it's funny because he's not a big rangy type that you would think that would eat up ground just by looking at him. He and he's not twitchy either. He just seems to be a super athletic and you know long reaching type that had everybody excited, and it wasn't a surprise per se that he was going to be a session. And can we anticipate the sale topper? It would seem.
I always have that hope we can crack that barrier, but it's probably a safe bet.
That's which I love. So I'm anxious to hear, you know, some of the backstory about this one, bred by Three Chimneys, Don Alberto, and this was also we should mention. So $190,000 yearling that then sells for 10 times. A monster,
makes up for some of the sins. Mm-hmm. As Tom said yesterday, you know, those home runs make up for some of the sins along the way.
Well, it's a tricky game. I have to take the opportunity to thank both of you. But dinner last night, my first time at Mark's, and got to meet Jackie, Mrs. Ventura, and I was regaled with stories with so much fun. And in fact, I even made the suggestion: there's a situation comedy that could bubble out of that, the two of you, the culture shock of meeting in Tampa in your 20s.
Yeah, where Tennessee and New Jersey merged. She's the personality of the two of us, so we let her carry on the entertainment, and I just kind of do my thing.
Well, she obviously holds court and anywhere you guys go to eat in town, because she couldn't go two tables as we were leaving without somebody calling her over.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, Jimmy's the mayor at a lot of places, and his you know, he walks in and knows a lot of people. And Ocala's not, certainly not Manhattan, where there's a lot of places to go, but you see a lot of the same faces over and over again. So that's the beauty of Ocala. It's a big enough place, but it's also small enough where you know a lot of people.
I don't know how much longer, you and I always talk about this, I don't know how much longer it's going to be a small place. I mean, it is. I've been coming, like, what, 6 years now, 5-6 years, to do this coverage, and it's crazed. And, of course, a lot of it has to do, you know, with you, and then with the incredible equestrian center that just, it's frightening what's going on over there.
It's really good to see the growth is just pure population is one thing, but you know the horse centric part of Ocala, it's still keeping its character, and it's good, you know, whether it's thoroughbreds or the pleasure horses and the show horses, whatever it might be, we've certainly have established that, and you've got the infrastructure around it. You've got, you know, tremendous veterinary support and
good
blacksmiths
point.
And training centers, and you know, we're fortunate enough that in January, these horses are training, and they're outside, and they're kicking around, and, you know, the spring training for horses. So, you know, they're not missing a lot of days training, so it kind of helps these horses keep moving forward.
Well, I imagine property values and all that kind of thing. This has got to be a boon time.
A lot of people have made a lot of money with the real estate down here. I can tell you that.
Yeah, the one thing that even though the value of the property is going up, it's also, you know, one of those things that it's all a matter of, you know, where you're coming from. You know, so if you're coming from the Miami area to up here, you know, then it looks like it's relatively inexpensive. So it's a place where there's, you know, still some land available that people that want to have farms, whether they're the, you know, the 10 to 50 acre type farms. I think what we don't see and we might not see is those big, massive operations, big, you know, 1,000, 2,000 acre farms. You know, you got the Malones that have Brattlewood that certainly are very dedicated to that and are going to keep that. But, you know, there's just, you know, the market for those type of places is much smaller than the smaller ones. And those smaller farms that you can still raise a really good horse and then you could bring it to a training center. Or if you're into the show horses, pleasure horses, it obviously works very well.
Well, Live Oak, certainly, Mrs. Weber's farm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the largest down here, I'm
right.
Assuming.
You can keep driving and looking to the left and, oh, yeah, that's still Live Oak. So, you know, they've been here a very long time, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I don't think at any point in time that she's wanting to starting putting apartments up on her property.
Well, and she didn't even want the state somehow putting a road through the property, which she was not happy about that prospect.
That's a very, you know, it's a long story that we don't need to delve into, but but the one thing they were going to put, you know, an extension of the turnpike or an interstate system, fortunately for the people of Ocala, they were cutting through Live Oak and Brattlewood at the same time. So we combat that situation and make everybody aware of it. And so the bad news was they tried to do it. The good news is the land they were going over was people that were super dedicated to keeping their property exactly what it was.
Very well done.
Yes. Yeah. I remember... I don't even know how it came up. It might have been when we came to visit. Charlotte had a function. It might have been the 50th anniversary, 40th, the 40th anniversary of Live Oak, maybe, or whatever it was. And she somehow, we got into this. She told me this whole story, and she was just aghast at the prospect of. you know, the cutting up a section of the plantation for the turnpike. So yeah, I know that it just went away. So kind of fun. In the meantime, getting up here, I told Jimmy because I reached out to him about how long is it going to take to get, you know, from because I've always come from Tampa. I've never come from Orlando. And he's, you know, he said
hour and a half.
Doubled that. It was crazy getting up here, and I was like sort of stunned at just because when you come from Tampa, you get to go through the back, you know, the backwoods, the back roads, and it's actually kind of a fun drive.
Yeah, what backs you up on when you're coming from Orlando, when you get to the split. Heading towards Ocala, that's where, you know, you've got some of the Tampa traffic and the Orlando traffic. And then there was construction earlier in the week where we had a truck ran into an overpass, so they shut some of the lanes down. So that certainly complicated matters.
Oh my God, maybe that's why. Because I was stunned. It took me longer to drive here from Orlando than it took to fly from Albany to Orlando, which was 2 hours and 40 minutes to fly and 3 hours to drive. Anyway, always happy to be here, and you really notably had everybody's here, everybody that you would want, and then some. I mean, big outfits, small outfits, and everybody seems like they're getting, you know, something that to take home.
Yeah, and that's great, and that was the goal, to kind of make this catalog, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, make it a little bigger, get everybody interested, so they're not, you know, afraid to come to the sale and think that all the horses are going to bring $500,000 and $600,000. We try and give everybody a horse that fits their budget, and then they can wheel back again in April, and we do it again with 1,200 horses.
And that catalog is?
The catalog should come out. We finalized it. It should go online probably Friday, and, you know, it's more of the same, and just phenomenal group of horses, and you know, the catalog cover just has horses from that have been successful all over the world. So we actually had our first Grade One winner in Australia last year, and that horse started here in the U.S. A horse called Lighthouse that started here in the U.S.
Okay.
And then went to Australia and was a Grade One winner down there for the Roths.
How about that, L&J? Foxwoods. I'm just looking through the catalog. Tom, four is there it is. There we go. The April sale, the 25th through the 28th, and
7 day Breeze Show before it.
7 day Breeze Show starts April 16th, Sunday to Saturday. We got to hope that there isn't one of those weather interruptions that.
We schedule it so that there's about 200 horses a day, and that if there is, you know, rain in the mix, that track handles it so well that we can wait it out and continue that day. And unless it's a complete washout, we still have 2 days in between where we could always shuffle. But, you know, one of the great benefits of that racetrack is the ability for it to handle rain and be ready to go without it being a sloppy track.
Breezing April 16th to the 22nd, and then the Sunday and Monday to review, and then the sale starts. And this always, I'm always in Louisville for this. And
this year might be a little closer to the Derby.
It is.
We shifted the March sale a week later, and then in turn we shifted the April sale a week later. And we'll go back, evaluate, see if that's the actual best dates or not, and see if we need to adjust next year. But, you know, there's certainly people are going to find a way to make it to this sale and to make it to that sale if they're interested in buying two-year-olds.
Well, and then, of course, there's some activity up in Timonium at Phasig, and the comeback here for the June sale, which has gotten to be there's plenty of quality has found
Spirit,
its way.
Right? Medina.
Yeah, Medina Spirit, Warlike Goddess, quality horses, and you know, it all comes down to the horses. The consigners are confident now in that it's a good marketplace to move horses that maybe weren't as precocious, that needed a little more time, and the buyers pay attention.
And then take the summer off a little bit and get ready for your version of the yearling sale, which comes in October, October 10th and 11th. And all, you know, obsales.com, all the nomination information and forms and everything else. What's the online? You know, everybody's so up to speed now on online bidding. Has that percentage of remained static, or has that grown?
So the online has become a very important part of the process, and even one of the things, this sale, you know, with the 3 day sale, the first day is probably not as popular as the third day. So the people that have come in and done their homework and need to get back to whatever else they might need to do, you know, they can just jump online and bid on the horse that way. So it's been very popular, and you know, at one point, one of the sessions, not at this sale, but we've had up to 40% of the horses had at least one online bid. So it's helpful. A lot of the agents and the principals still communicate while the horse is in the ring on the phone, and that's certainly good to get, you know, immediate feedback. But there are a lot of people, you know, in other parts of the world, some of these Japanese buyers that didn't make it over here, they have their advisors over here, but they want to control when they bid and how much they bid, and need, you know, don't need any more information. You know, could sit there with the click of the mouse or push of a finger on the iPad, and they're bidding on horses. And it's been very well received, and you know, We were very fortunate that we got associated with Xcira that are based in Tampa, and they had the experience, and they brought us up to speed very quickly.
Very cool. Yeah, because obviously when it came to the COVID era, that, you know, people weren't going to travel. It made it hard, and the technology was already, you know, growing, and it was finding its, you know, its position as part of the marketplace.
The timing of it was, we were forced to finally get it, make it happen. We were always on the sidelines thinking about it, wanting to do it. We're selling a product that people need to touch and feel. So somewhere along the line, somebody has to see that horse. You know, we provide plenty of video photos and things like that to help evaluate the horse. But somebody somewhere needs to touch that horse, whether it's a veterinarian or an advisor. But, you know, we're concerned way back that the whether it's the latency, the any delay in which the bid takes place, or just the overall confidence of security of those type of online services. It's those things have changed, and even the older generations, which unfortunately I'm becoming one of them, or am one of them, you know, are very comfortable with doing things online. You know, everybody buys something on Amazon.
Yeah, it's true.
And everybody, true. You know, I haven't got to the Venmo stage or some of those other things, but, you know, buyers of all ages are comfortable bidding online now.
Oh, there's no doubt. We've been able to, we had the fun experience of having you bid on the phone, and we did that on the show, and we did it on the phone when we bought, waiting for the filly to make her debut, actually, Countess Constance, and that one, Tina and I were at on the beach. Actually, I think I got turned away when we were at Sanibel. I think we were unsuccessful a couple of times at Sanibel, because it was later on that we got the Irish War Cry filly. But if you got somebody, you know, virtually everybody has someone at the sale that they can. You know, say, you know, can you go look at, can you, you know, give me an opinion, and touch on that, Tom, before we wrap, in terms of people that, you know, that have an interest, that are following along, and they may not have somebody that can help them. I mean, you've got a team that really can help people if they want to get involved that way.
Yeah, we certainly will kind of point them in a direction and give them, you know, some ways to go. Obviously, getting someone that you trust, you know, to do some of that work for you and let them do, you know, with their expert on, and then help relay that advice. You know, one of the big things that have really helped educate people of these partnerships, you know, that kind of gives some of the people interested in the game a way to kind of learn about the game without, you know, having to figure out who to be associated with. But we certainly try and accommodate anybody that has any interest, and if need be, you know, one of our people will go out and look at a horse and give them their opinion of the horse. You know, it's a little bit touchy situation where you can't do that for everybody, but we certainly want everybody to be involved, and we'll try and get them get enough information to where they feel comfortable in bidding on buying a horse.
Well, get a hold of Tom and Wojo, and you know, whatever aspect of the game you need a leg up. There's people. I say this all the time. You know, we can help anybody that wants to get involved at any level. And there's so many, you know, there's so many good avenues to, you know, to enter the game.
You know, we appreciate, you know, what you do, you know, not only here at the sales grounds, where you kind of get that instant feedback from people and keeping everybody in the game, per se, but, you know, the Steve Bick Roadshow has kind of grown and going, you know, one day you're in California, the next day you're at the HBPA convention, and the next day you're somewhere else.
He's in Vegas.
But it's good. I mean, it's really it's very good information, and you get the right people on here that you get a broad viewpoint, and I think it's excellent, you know, what you do, and certainly appreciate you doing that and taking the time and making the effort to come here.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure, and it's just a natural, because you know, we try to touch on every, you know, on all the major aspects of the game, and you know, even yesterday when you know I try to, you know, offer the array. I mean, yesterday we closed the show out with Valerie Buck talking aftercare. We had the guys from Lip Chip that are here I started talking to on Monday. You know, fascinating and an option to help. You know, one of those things that has been talked about for years that seems to be finally, you know, pulling out of the station in terms of digital health records and the ability to GPS, you know where, you know where your horse is at all times, or you know, the ones that sort of slip through the cracks. You can find those, etc. So not to mention the other applications that they talked about that Equibase has been wanting to do for years. So I had those guys. There's so many things about the game that are interesting and engaging, and they all need exposure.
No question.
Tom Ventura, Jimmy.
And before you leave, Tommy, just to remind you, I know you're busy. It's Cassie's birthday today.
My sister's birthday.
Yeah. So usually I'm the one that calls him up, say, it's so-and-so's birthday today. And he's like, okay, I forgot, or no, I already wished him a happy birthday. So I just wanted to make sure that...
Our oldest, two girls and two boys. So we're the younger ones. He's the youngest.
Oh, is that right? There were two girls first?
Yeah. My sister Kathy's birthday today, and another sister, Joanne.
Oh, how funny. And then
girls are born in March, boys are born in September. So I don't know what exactly...
Four years apart.
Yeah.
So my mother was she was a very durable woman.
Yes. So we figured we were New Year's Eve type of babies somewhere along the way.
That is funny. And, there's a set schedule.
That's right. Exactly.
Leap year people.
That is very funny. We had so much fun. I heard about how she thought you worked at a service station. That was one of the funniest stories I've ever heard. That was a riot.
It was the gas.
People's Gas Building in Tampa.
Yep. Yeah.
It was very, very fun and sweet. I can see how the shidduch, as we say in Yiddish, came together. That had to be
classic.
Well, and I know that area where she's from because I
beautiful worked, country.
Oh
yeah.
God, it's very unbelievable. Nice. Unbelievable up there. It's fabulous. The Cumberland Gap and I worked out of Charlotte, and actually I worked out of Cincinnati. And so from both angles, originally with Cannon Mills in Cincinnati, and then when I came around with Proctor and ended up in Charlotte, and so I covered, you know, both ends of it. And that is Knoxville, that Asheville Knoxville corridor is spectacular. And Chattanooga, you know, when you've come from here to go to Kentucky,
dip down in there,
you come right up, and it's just you get up Lookout Mountain, and then you know you got your choice. You can angle toward the Ville, or you can go Cumberland Gap, and it's if you've never been up the Blue Ridge Parkway to Boone, like from Asheville to Boone and that whole ridge there, it's amazing. I love it. I want to get Tina there. We've talked about going.
We like to go up there, except my body has adapted to Florida weather, so I like snow for about a day, and that's it.
You could look at it. Where in Jersey?
Bergen County, New Jersey.
Okay.
Small town, Maywood.
Okay.
Right by Packinsack, and we were 20 minutes from the bridge, or 45 minutes from the George Washington Bridge, depending on traffic. So
I know Bergen.
Yep.
I never asked them. I never knew where in Jersey. Yep. In terms of you both ending up in racing, when was that decision made?
Well, I started just as a fan, you know, going along with my uncles and my father to the races, and then went to Rutgers my first year, and then made my way out to the University of Arizona, and that was my entry into the horse business. I got an internship at the Jockey Club and worked at NYRA, and made my way to Tampa, worked for the Steinbrenners, and, you know, that was a super condensed version of how it came about, but that's, you know, I love the horses, I love the excitement of the races, but then I got, you know, more involved as time went on. That move from Rutgers to Arizona was a big one.
We'd go to the track, as Tommy said, the first time I ever went, I think I was 7, Tommy was 11, and my father would give us $2 each to bet, and we had to go partners, and Tommy was pissed at me because I couldn't read the form, let alone read anything, and I bet a gray horse with orange silks. Tommy Wallace was the jockey. Paid $104. He was really happy that we became partners on that one. And I remember telling him, asking my dad, "How many Hot Wheels can I buy?" And but the best lesson coming home with my uncles and dad in the car, and we all had a good day at the track. I said, "Mommy's going to be so happy when we get home." And he said, "Okay, Jimmy, we're going to tell Mommy we broke even." Because if you won, she's going to want some money. And if we lost, she's going to give us grief. So my mom passed away at 94 years old. And to the day that she passed, "Jimmy, how'd you do at the track?" "Broke even, Ma." So to that day, you know, I learned a very valuable lesson back then. And even my girlfriend, Tara, she'll say, "Are you breaking even today?" I'm like, "Yep. Broke even."
Exactly.
So anyway, that's how we got involved.
Great ride. And then he was in Kentucky at the Kentucky Equine
Institute.
Hands-on.
The first dart flying start program was the Kentucky Equine Institute.
That type school, and then ended up at Penn National and training horses, and then worked with Steve Young and Joe Orsino.
So. I mean, I worked at Spendthrift and Three Chimneys back in the day when I was out in Lexington driving down to New Tazewell to his wedding. So I was...
Go figure. Two kids out of the suburbs, but love the horses. And here we are.
It's great. They come from all points on the compass. There's all different ways to take an interest in the game and then get involved. It's amazing that way. It's just that's one of the things about it. The people that get taken in by the gambling, the ones that get taken in by the pedigree interest, and you know, the animal itself. There's just countless ways. I mean, it's an infectious.
Absolutely is, and it really helps your math skills when you handicap at an early age.
Absolutely.
I was in a class probably in first grade. They teach, you know, multiplication, division, and, you know, 5 divided by 2, and every 2.5, 2.5, and I was like, "Pay 7 if you get the juice at 7.80. So the teachers were like, "Who is this person?"
He knew fifths, 22 1/5.
Exactly. I had to do Uncle Al's speed figures. That's why. So. Anyway,
it's good for you no matter what avenue you take. Well, Tom, we'll probably do a recap tomorrow. I'll be here 2 more days. No reason to shift tack midstream here. So I can't thank you enough for having us again this year. And this has become one of our favorite stops.
Right, you got your spot. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming.
Tom Ventura, everybody. Jimmy, too. Jimmy's actually heading back today. Sid Fernando has arrived, coming up from Tampa. He's been on the go himself, as it happens. And we got a couple other things, too. I've got an owner, a partnership group, Crown's Way. Tony Rollo is he's going to stop by. I got to get Dick Powell in here for a quick hit as well. So let's do that. Let me get Dick in real fast and get the update, because he was actually down in Florida. I think, I don't know if he still is or if he's, yes, without a doubt, a picture of the two of you. Let me... actually, here, good point. Let's get that done. Come together. It's just easier. And we will... You can doff that. Yeah, you don't... We want a quality... We want a quality photograph of the brothers Ventura. Oh, this is nice. Outstanding.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys. All right. Are you heading? Are you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to be heading
right.
a little bit.
Very good. And you all see you later. Tom Ventura, everybody, and Jimmy together. Let me get Dick quickly lined up here, and we can get the Hong Kong's actually a little on the later side today. So we will see what's going on there. Plus, of course, there was the Derby this weekend as well. So let's catch up. And Sid, good morning.
Sid or Dick?
Sid's here too. He's over to my right. Dick, good morning.
Hi, Sid. How are you? I'm good, Steve.
How was? Are you home? Are you down here?
Yes. Yeah, I got home Friday.
Okay. Okay.
Quick trip down Monday, back Friday. Missed all the snow.
I actually was home for the snow, which was kind of fun. The Dick, let me dive in because I've got they're going to start to stack up here, and we're keeping an eye out for a John Sakura visit as well. We didn't get a chance to preview the Derby from last week, but how about some thoughts and maybe a play or two with Happy Valley rolling along.
The Derby was really amazing. You know, you have four-year-olds that are pointing for the series of four-year-old races culminating in the Hong Kong Derby. Voyage Bubble won the first leg going a mile, and then when they stretched out to a mile and an eighth, he didn't finish very well. He showed good speed and then backed up. Now he's going out to a mile and a quarter. He draws post 14, and this is a two-turn race. And yet, it was just remarkable. He's on the outside. He's coming. He's in the stretch. He's battling, and he wins the race by a short head over Tuckle. And Tuckle ridden by none other than Ryan Moore. So you want a tight photo of Ryan. You've worked pretty hard, so the horse paid $93 to win, even though he won the first leg of the Classic Series. Now, once again, part of it was the post position, part of it was the pedigrees. It's not a deep field, and the feeling in Hong Kong is deep field of sprinters and certainly not 10 furlong type horses. But he proved everybody wrong, so Voyage Bubble wins the Hong Kong Derby. Tuckle was second in a close finish. Beauty Eternal, who went off the favorite for Zach Purton and John Size, were also a close third, as there was basically four of them on the wire. And then the race before that was just spectacular. The Group 1 Queen Silver Jubilee Cup going 1,400 meters, 7 furlongs. California Spangle had everything his own way, made an easy lead, didn't have to work very hard. James McDonald up from Australia tipped out with Lucky Swainess, applied the pressure, looked like it'd be a ding-dong battle, and yet Lucky Swainess pulled away to a length and a quarter win. It was an upset, but it was kind of shocking how easily he won, that the California Spangle just was not really competitive in the last 200 meters. So Lucky Swainess, who's also a four-year-old, but he's a sprinter. He's not a distance horse. He goes and wins a Group 1 7-furlong race. Final time, 121.12. Last quarter, 21.82. There was even a 10.71 sectional in the stretch.
Yikes.
But Lucky Swainess now beat Wellington, beat California Spangle, so he's probably the leading sprinter in Hong Kong. So California Spangle's interesting, Steve, because he won last year going a mile and eighth, and he beat Golden 60 going a mile. He beat Romantic Warrior going a mile eighth. So maybe as he gets a little bit older, maybe he's going to be more of a middle distance type miler than a Stone Cold sprinter, as fast as he is, because he did have the lead. So that was the other big race from Saturday night, Sunday morning at Sha Tin.
Very nice. All right. They're rolling along at Happy Valley, and I did see the 75-1 shot that won the opener, and then I think another 25 or 30-1 shot, and then I left to come over here. So it's been a
it's been an explosive morning at Happy Valley.
Yeah, it's calmed down a little bit with some of the favorites, including Lucky Eight in the last race. Started out raining. Now it seems to be okay. Nice crowd. A lot of the riders are bringing the horse back along the fence and high-fiving fans and stuff. So that's great to see after having a couple of years of no fans at the track. So everyone seems to be excited by that. So we go to Chatham this weekend for 10 turf races. And then next Wednesday, Steve, when we're on, we'll be at Chatham. And I'm sure most of the races, if not all of them, will be all-weather track races. So Chatham turf Sunday morning, Chatham all weather next Wednesday morning.
Excellent. The seventh just ran. You got a play for everybody. We won't be able to take the audio, but how about a winner in the last pair?
Well, race eight, we're going two turns, and let me go back and see what I did here. Race eight was pretty deep, so I went 1-4-7. Seven's a favorite, Savaquin with Hugh Bowman and John Size, but the 1-4 have a little bit of value, somewhere around 7-1. And then race nine was really spread out because there's no strong favorite, but there's no real long shots in the race. So kind of the perfect handicap race where the weight post position brings everyone together. So I went in my pick three, which I just got eliminated by running second. I went 2-5-10-11. Equilette Brooks, the 2, is a long shot. Doug White, trainer, Zach Curtin, rider. Now, you would think they're household names in Hong Kong, but they don't work together very often. Going into today, they only had two rides. Zach only had two rides for Doug White, former champion jockey. So, Equilette Blitz, form is a little spotty, but I think Happy Valley can get it done. And Zach can, you know, it's from post 11, but that's why we're going to get a decent price. So, we're going to go 2-5. Nordic Dragon is a speedball. Looked great. First two starts, beaten favorite, the next two. But the last two, when he got beaten, was from post 12. Now, finally, he draws a little bit better in post 9. So you might forgive those last two losses. And he is fast. Always have to respect that. The 10 is All Greek to Me, who probably will be one of the favorites for David Hayes. And then I threw in the 11 at a little bit of a price, Act of Faith. So 2-5-10-11 in the ninth race. What I'm going to do there, Steve, is I'm going to key the 2, the price horse, Equilette Blitz, bet him to win, and then play exactas with him underneath the 5-10-11.
All right, give the numbers again. The eighth
race, nine, race, yep. 9, 2 to win. And then 5-10-11 over to 2 in exactus.
Very good. And in the eighth?
Race 8 was 1-4-7. Probably lean on the 7, so maybe straight exactus 7 with 1-4. 7's taking some money.
Very good. All right. Dick, great to catch up, and we'll talk to you next week from Gulfstream Park.
Okay, Steve. Sounds good. Thanks.
HKJC Racing and Dick Powell. He was en route. We've all been en route of late. Sid, I've got to slip these guys in. Say hello. Say hello first. Come say hello while we got you. But got a minute to say hi.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Great. It's good. I was thrilled when you said. I just got back to Tampa from New York.
Yeah, I did.
And
yeah.
I'll be there Wednesday.
Yeah. So why are you here two more days?
Because there's really no reason to, you know, where am I going to go? I'm going to run down already to Gulfstream. Might as well just stay.
I got
a nice spot. There'll be plenty of action tomorrow. There'll be follow-up on, you know, sale. There'll be some, you know, some post-sale, you'll see some PS on the sales sheet.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Well, your man, I think I saw Chuck. Did I see Chuck?
No.
Okay, from behind, yeah. I saw somebody with the bald head. And
yeah, no, Chuck never comes to two-year-old sales.
All right. Yeah. All right, I wasn't sure. Yeah. And the funny part was they were wearing a jacket that...
Looked like his?
Well, that had I think one of the stallions on it.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I'm trying to think now. There were four going, and you know Chuck's pretty distinctive. Size wise and shape wise.
Yeah. You can spot him a mile away.
Well, I was coming. I was walking back up here to the lobby. We're in the lobby at OBS. Yeah. It's good to see you got a chance to say hi to Tom Ventura.
Yeah.
And
Tom was with.
Jimmy with his
Jimmy.
Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We saw Jimmy up in Saratoga.
Always. Always.
Yeah.
He's a fixture.
Yeah.
And he stops at that.
Jimmy's girlfriend was up at Saratoga
Tara.
Too. Tara. That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
I was with Cynthia.
That we had the group photo.
Yeah,
I got that group photo.
That's a great group photo.
I'll probably use that. I can use that maybe today. Unbelievable.
There you go.
There's some very interesting things. We'll talk about it at 10 o'clock.
Who you got coming in right now?
Well, I just happened to meet these guys.
Sakura's coming?
Sakura's coming. And it was perfect. And he said early before the sale. So I thought this will be ideal.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
You and he together will be fabulous.
I was actually at a party with him last night.
Excellent. Yeah. There you go. Well, we will we'll get his...
Well, I was at the party and he was. We went together. we said hi and he said hi, Fabio.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is great. Let me get... come here. Let me get this Tony...
I'll give you the mic.
It's a quick hit. Because I just met these guys, and one I had already known from Fairgrounds, and but Tony Rello, who I had not met, hop in here, and want to get this hello. Of course. There we go. One of the fun things about being out in circulation, I guess, as it were, is that you know you see people that you run into at the track and so forth, and that happened right before the show, and had the opportunity to meet Tony Rello, who's got Crowns Way Racing, and it occurs to me, first of all, say hello, both of you. I want you to.
Hi, how you doing? This is Tony, and I'm here with one of our partners, Kevin Marco, and we're down here having some fun.
And buying some horses.
Oh, yeah.
It occurs to me...
Some days back at the fairgrounds with my old trainer, Richie Shear, when I met Steve down there, I had some great memories of Richie and Gary and Merrill and Little Merrill, so decided to stop by and say hi to Steve.
Did you come up to Saratoga when Richie would have the tent and everybody would hang out with the...
That was actually my tent, yeah.
There you go.
Richie and Bree came up and spent some time. I go there every summer, so we checked you out there. Merrill had some horses there right outside the back entrance. Every year at Saratoga in August.
That's what I thought. That popped in my head too, as after we said hello. And when it comes to Tony, to what you're doing here, you're buying horses for Crowns Way. Tell everybody about the partnership.
Yeah, so it's a syndicate that we started in 2018, pretty much strictly to run at Arlington. With Arlington being gone now, we've branched out. We run at Indiana with Carlos Silva. We run in the Mid-Atlantic with Kelsey Danner. And it's been going strong since 2018. You know, we're kind of branching out a little bit from the Chicago area, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's been a lot of partner support as we've branched out and kind of got away from Chicago.
Well, and of course, it's a difficult thing to accept. But at the same time, you know, in fact, we were in Vegas, and we talked about, you know, Hawthorne. Everything that's going on there, and that you know that's Chicagoland's future, and everybody sort of has to, I think, just deal with that.
Yeah, it's a new world. Got to adapt to it. And Chris Block's running the ITHA over there, and Chris does a phenomenal job. So it's in good. At least the ITHA part of it's in good hands with Chris.
What was your, in terms of getting a group together? What was your
origin story coming into the game?
So I grew up around the track. My grandfather bred horses under the name Crownsway Farm.
Oh, wow.
Had a large group of Illinois breds, and then my uncle, Gene Cilio, was the trainer in Chicago for all those years.
Okay.
So I grew up around the game. When Crownsway Farm got out of it, I always wanted to get back in, and I thought a syndicate would be a fun way to do that, and started with one horse that we claimed for 20 at Keeneland, and 5-6 years later now, we're managing 12 horses, and we keep growing. We have a $500 investment, or $500 minimum, so I like to keep it at that level so anyone can get involved. But we have partners that from $500 all the way up to larger amounts, and we've had a lot of fun with a lot of nice horses.
Well, and one thing that you're doing, and it, you know, it occurred to me when you mentioned who is training, and because I talked to Kelsey Danner, who's one of your trainers, just a couple of weeks ago after the nice stake win, and it occurred to me that at NHC you had a horse win over the weekend last week at Gulfstream,
yes,
and
yes.
that was a mandatory horse.
I'm lost on my days right now with the sale. We've actually won 5 out of our last 6 starts. So
is that right?
It's been a whirlwind the
How
last couple
that?
Weeks.
And
different horses, I might add, and 3 different trainers, all in the last
that is
6
wild.
Weeks, 8
yeah.
weeks.
Tell everybody about the I'll figure out the horse. I know it was at Gulfstream, and it was like a $20 winner.
Richie.
Yeah, Richie won last week
go.
At Gulfstream for Jimmy Gulick. Talking Tipsy won last week at Gulfstream, and then a couple weeks before, Smokin' Jay won at Gulfstream. So it's been a nice little run.
Well, Smokin' Jay, the stake horse.
Yes.
Jim Gulick.
Mm-hmm. He's got a couple for us. He's got Richie and Talking Tipsy. Carlos Silva's got a couple for us. And he's down at the fairground, so...
Very nice. So, really, partners, when the winter ends, actually, you'll keep some. There'll be some at Gulfstream.
Yeah, Kelsey will keep a string down here. And then Smokin' Jay, Otago, kind of our bigger horses in her barn, they're going to head up to the Mid-Atlantic or wherever Kelsey decides to go, somewhere. You know, I don't know if she's going back to Colonial or where she's going, but they'll go up to the Mid-Atlantic because there's so many places to run up there.
So you've got partners. I mean, the partners really can be anywhere.
Yeah, well, like I said, in the last 3 years, we've really branched out, and I think we've run races in about 12 different states and Canada. So
nice.
Yeah, anywhere east of the Mississippi, we're running.
Very cool. What have you done here these first 2 days, and do you have more interests today to get one?
You know what? It's been exciting the first couple of days. We got a Copper Bullet out of number 167. That was he's a big, good-looking colt. He had a great gallop out, and we're excited about him. Kelsey's going to get him. And then we picked up 491 yesterday, an athletic little Gormley filly out of a winning Kitten's Joy mare. Kitten's Joy and Dynaform on the bottom, so could be turfy, but she's also, you know, a very athletic little filly. So and at $35,000, I thought she was a steal.
Well, just on on page alone, that second dam, that Ramsey solution,
mm-hmm.
that I want to say Kentucky Downs last year,
yeah,
stake
exactly.
Winner, and very nice. That's great. That is a deal. Oh my gosh, that's the family of Ad Rhythm, who I was a huge fan of. Oh my gosh, that's great. I love when that, you know, you look down and you see it. And it's funny that you mentioned Copper Bullet, because Lauren Gash, pretty sure it was Lauren Gash,
yes,
on Monday, was talking when I asked her about, we were going through the first crop sires, and she mentioned the Copper Bullets.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was a little familiar with Copper Bullet and kind of like the breeding program that they were trying to set up when he went to Stallion. And he's one that kind of just was off my radar. Kelsey put me back on the horse, and I think I've seen 4 or 5 Copper Bullets down here, and I think they've all been excellent. So I'm really excited to get this horse, and he's going to be a fun one for us, and we'll have some partners in on him, and he'll be a nice summer horse.
Well, and to be honest, he's an interesting stallion candidate, because I mean, just on the Asmussen Heritage.
Yeah,
the training side, and yeah, from that standpoint alone, I mean,
I mean, obviously, McLean's music, kind of a different, a very different and unique career, quote unquote, and then to go on to the success he's having. But this is sort of a, this is not dissimilar, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, a horse that that kind of, being by More Than Ready, that helps. I mean, he get More Than Ready gets just gets runners, the turf, dirt, intermediate distance, short, the everything.
Yeah, I love More Than Ready. Yeah. First horse I ever owned was by More Than Ready, and he was, or she, we kept her now, and she's a broodmare.
Oh, nice.
With so myself and Dee Dee McGeehee up in Kentucky.
What a wonderful partner to have.
Oh, yeah, Dee Dee's the best.
How did you come to hook up with Dee Dee McGee?
So Dee Dee and my grandpa bred horses together. In the early 2000s, they bred House of Grace was probably the best one they bred. She was in the Breeders' Cup. And she's just remained a family friend even after my grandpa was gone. She's a great mentor to have in your corner when you're getting into the business. She knows a lot, and especially with her vet background. If I have any questions, I always call Dee Dee, and she's always there to answer. So.
She's terrific. You mentioned she's a vet by trade, and of course, when you fold in Lotta Kim and Rachel and everything, you know, from the family has produced, and that is sweet. About you mentioned the Crown's Way, because that's a nice extension to your grandfather's.
My brother and I decided we needed to keep the family
name going.
You know, we were going to come up with some stupid silks ideas, and we said, why don't we just rock with the same ones we've been using in this, I think, since my grandpa got them in the early 80s, and just keep going with the family legacy. So.
Tony, just terrific and exciting. And how do people get more information and get a hold of you?
Probably the best way to get a hold of us is either be on Twitter or Facebook. We're active on both those accounts. We've been blowing up already off the first two we bought. I think a lot of people got excited. And we'll still have a lookout today and see if we find something else. Add a third one to this new series I'm putting together, which is Series E. So if someone gets in, they'll be in on all three. They're all partnered together, so that way if one of us wins, we all win.
Yeah, it makes it more fun.
And I'd like to point out, we do not mark these horses up at all. What we pay is what the partners buy them at. And I think we're one of the fairer groups out here, so.
That's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with it.
Well, best of luck. Delighted to meet, and wanted to take the opportunity to introduce you to, you know, the audience. And
I appreciate you having me on.
Not at all. And Kev, good to see you.
You too.
We will. Are you heading to Fairgrounds this weekend, or
no? With Richie gone, I haven't been going down there much anymore. But yeah, no, I've been. I got involved with Tony on this Otago horse. It's the only series that I've been involved in. But one thing I can say about Tony and Crown's Way, it's incredible how they could pick out and spot horses. I mean, these 2 years have actually been profitable, which in this game is unheard of.
Yeah, big time. And just an advisory, you're not getting into this to make money. You get into it to have fun.
Exactly. I let everyone know coming in. Get into this because you enjoy it, not because you're looking to turn a profit. But if we can do that in the process, that's great as well.
Exactly.
I might add, to meet great people.
Exactly. There's people you're going to enjoy being with and get meeting up with at the racetrack. That's a big part of it. Kevin Marco, Tony Rallo, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Great to meet. How fun. Good luck shopping today. I'll get a picture of you guys, too. Come on. That's my, there we go. Yeah, definitely see you this summer. All right. And here we go. I'll put you guys to that. That's it. You got it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. That was fun. I just followed Crowns Racing on Twitter. So there we go.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. There we go. Sid settling back in. Mic or headset? Your call. You like the mic.
Is his mic on?
Mic is on.
Okay.
I couldn't resist. Here's a low profile partnership syndicate. He chooses the syndicate terminology, and they're obviously having success. The family's been. The more I asked, the more we found out. I mean, to be tied on with Didi McGahee is certainly
That's pretty good.
Pretty darn nice.
It's good to see all these people, you know, partnering up and creating these,
Avenue of entree. We talked about that with Tommy and Jimmy about the sales method and getting involved in the game. At whatever
everybody's
level.
Everybody's in a partnership now. That's basically what's It really started with the COVID thing, and it's just more affordable for people.
Well, when you see the kinds of names, I mean, you look at the tally sheet here, and Woodford and Talla and West Point yesterday on the $900,000 Curlin Colt, the Hiling Brats and Jackpot Farm together on a $950,000 Uncle Mo, Sienna and Maverick Windstar on the $1.2 million Justify. And by the way, I'll reiterate like I did yesterday, Jane Lyon with another. Seven-figure seller. Amazing. This one.
Did she sell it herself, or was it sold as a yearling and then pinhooked?
I think this was a pinhook. It was a pinhook. $250,000 Keeneland yearling.
Right.
So a nice. There's been some very good pinhook pops. Mm-hmm. Not the least of which, and I don't know if we should save this. I can't guarantee that John is going to be here right now with you, but yesterday. Said when you combine Good Magic's $2 million colt and then the one that was the third highest knockdown on Monday, that was the $725,000 that Steve Young signed for, bred by Stone Street. This is a breakout sale for Good Magic,
mm-hmm.
big
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Well, he's pretty hot.
That's been kind of the funny with him and Arrogate with some of these numbers and how that's been a theme that has come up in conversation with the turf, with the sales turf writing. I had Lauren Gash on Monday and yesterday Christina Basanakis and Jess Martini, and the coincidence that how pinhookers bought Arrogate babies because he got off to a quote-unquote slow start.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to Monday, there was the $50,000 Phasing July that sells for $525,000. That was Raul Rojas, King's Equine. Saw Rojas last night at dinner at Mark's. And
oh, you went to Mark's?
First time I'd ever gone, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who'd you go with?
Jimmy.
Oh,
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
There's the girls right there coming. They were there too. Christina and Jess, both of them.
Yeah.
They're working the sale.
Oh, they were there too.
Yeah.
Doesn't Christina work for China Horse?
She works for everybody. She's a widespread. She's got the. Little something going here and there.
All right,
but that was the funny.
Did
sort
you
of
hear
aside.
Me on this?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was the strange element that how they both of these last year as first crop stallions, just because they weren't exploding by August, people are giving. Less attention to the babies at Keeneland, and then look at these successes. Now 6 months later. I mean, that's what a pinhooker. That's a pinhook dream.
Yeah, that's really. The pinhookers are so sharp, and when a horse goes through a pinhooking program with some of these guys, it's another seal of approval.
Did you get a chance to peruse the results?
Not really. Let me see them.
There we go. There's Tuesday and Wednesday. We always like to kind of thumb through and see some of it. It's a nice variety in terms of the young sires, first and second croppers, and then there's some of those isolated victories for people and for stallions that, you know, just I won't say they come out of nowhere, but the first day, Sid, one of the interesting buys was a Lee that sold for $310,000. The Highling brought that was the Highling brought jackpot purchase. You know, there's always you go through. There's always some unusual or unexpected successes. You know, then you're also, of course, watching for, you know, some of the stallions to see if they're going to, you know, how they're being received when it comes to the first crops. Vino Rosso seems off to a...
Vino Rosso, yeah, he's...
off to a nice start.
He's off to an excellent start. And, you know, part of his appeal is going to be the fact that Good Magic has exploded for Curlin. And, of course, he's a, you know, he's a son of Curlin. A champion son of Curlin.
And one thing I said earlier to Tommy Ventura, when you look at these results, it's just so clear how everybody wants a classic horse and mm-hmm. wants two turn horses, and it obviously drives the marketplace. I can tell you what else is going to be recognized, I think, by the time we get through these spring sales, is what a tragedy Arrogate's passing.
Obviously,
unbelievable.
No question. No doubt, bro.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Just crazy to look at you know, the way in which these, you know, the, and I don't just mean in terms of ringing up sales.
Yeah.
I mean in terms of, you know, in terms of the performances. I don't know if you saw, whose comment was it? That I'm trying to think of which of the was a consigner or one of the buyers just talking of, it was one of the, it might have been McCrocklin.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was McCrocklin saying how durable they were and tough. And you know, he said that this horse, the one yesterday, the $950,000 filly that mm-hmm. Sheriffs and Lee Searing bought, it just...
Who was that? You know, whose name was that bought under?
Parks Investment.
Yeah, that's them.
It's CRK. Yeah. It's funny that
Parks Investment is Lee Searing's breeding operation.
Okay, so he put
yeah, he bred King's Barn, for example.
Right.
Yeah, and so he he's buying breeding stock. Maybe the fillies are being bought under Parks Investments. I don't know if the colts are, but yeah, that's his breeding operation. And you know, David Engordo looks over that breeding operation part of his.
Of the program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just touching base with Casey, just was asking about...
so how was dinner?
Yeah, it was fine. Yeah. I ate light. I really was not.
Are we on or not?
Of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You mentioned King's Barn, and let's do a quick aside, because King's Barn's Spendthrift, I did have Ned Toffee on Monday, mm-hmm. $800,000 purchase mm-hmm. as a March 2-year-old here last year.
Mm-hmm.
This Louisiana Derby, and of course they drew, they also drew the Turfway stakes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Got that here too. And Sumlin Derby's already been drawn, but they put together a very interesting field for the Jeff Ruby, which is, you know, now got a much higher profile, given Churchill's involvement, and you know, adding, you know, getting the purse back up to a serious amount, $700,000, enhancing the point value of the race. We'll talk about that too in a minute, but I wanted you to peruse while we have a chance. Obviously, we'll turn tomorrow to start to handicap, the Louisiana Derby card, which is extensive, mm-hmm. and now the Ruby card as well, and Sunland on Sunday. But I was curious what you thought of that Louisiana Derby group.
Well, it's going to be interesting because they're going to. It's almost like going in the Derby. They're going to be running a distance they don't run, mile and 3/16. So, what looks good at a mile and a 16th or a mile and an eighth may not be the case at a mile and 3/16. I like how you noted Jace's Road is not a sloppy horse.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the horse
sloppy
that just can't
horse.
Stand up on the mud.
Yeah. So he's got to be, the weather is good, he's got to be a pretty serious contender, I think.
He's going to be dirtied up, I think. I think people are going to look at that, at Jace's Road's PPs and kind of, think he's just a little obscured in there.
Yeah.
And since you mentioned, look because, the weather in terms of volatility, the weather has been difficult a lot of places. Speaking of which, if you had not heard earlier yesterday, Santa Anita canceling Friday's card already. They're going to shift from Friday, Saturday, Sunday to Saturday, Sunday, Monday is the plan. As they continue to go. I mean, Hammer sent me a video yesterday driving with hail, getting hailed on in L.A. yesterday. I mean, it's been...
It's pretty serious.
It's nuts, but...
Yeah.
New Orleans, let's hope...
Now, where'd you come best. Here from?
I came from home. I was home for 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
There's a little chance. There's a little bit of under 50% chance, but there is some weather coming to New Orleans on the back half of the weekend. It looks like Sunday, Monday, they're showing some thunderstorms and a little Saturday. Whatever this weather pattern is into toward New Orleans. Holds off a little bit, slows down, as opposed to if it speeds up, Saturday could get some rain, but there's a nice, looks like there's a nice opening, so they're calling it 42% for what that's worth on Saturday, and I'm just looking at the timing. Let's see if there's a way to, they got the 15 race card. There's a little bit of a chance, so we'll monitor that.
And is this race the last race on the program?
14th and 15th. Mm-hmm. They're all state bred, two state bred maidens and a state bred allowance.
Yeah, you're not going to be there?
No, I toyed with hopping up, but I.
Yeah. Where are you going from here?
Down toward Gulfstream. We'll be at Gulfstream all next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And then actually Kentucky kind of shifted gears to be in Kentucky for bluegrass.
Oh, nice! Yeah.
I'm just about to. Here's. I guess they sent it yesterday. I'm just seeing it now. Here's the. I will retweet the betting menu for the card at Fairgrounds. There you go. So there's one, two. Three pick fives. There isn't a pick five that ends with the one, two, three, four. There isn't all. There it is. The all stakes pick five. There is an all stakes pick five that ends with the Derby, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to. You can play the. You certainly can play the coda on the card, but the majority of things. There's a couple of stakes early. The Crescent Cities, male and female Louisiana breds, but the majority of the card is that nice stake pick five.
What do you think of the Louisiana Derby? What do you like?
My pass through that I worked on it a little bit this morning when I put together, I got the figs, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to see how. This is clearly a race where you're going to have to make a determination about how seriously to take the Risen Star. And it does kind of feel like you want to look for some alternatives to the Risen Star exiters. And Instant Coffee, I mean, what isn't there to like about Instant Coffee drawing, you know, very well for sort of a, you know, behind the pace kind of stalking trip. This King's Barnes, I think you got to take Fletcher seriously right now the way he's had him sending him in. Mm-hmm. And then of the other Bradcox horses, that Jace's Road won the Gun Runner, so he's won over the surface. Then he went to the Southwest, caught slop, and he had been dismal at Churchill in the street sense in the slop.
Doesn't like the slop.
No. So that can be a number of things. You know, the horses start to get, you know, hit in the face, and they turn their head, and it takes their mind, out of running. So Instant Coffee, King's Barnes, Jace's Road. I guess from the Risen Star, Sun Thunder, McPeak, and Tappet's Conquest, you know, second and fourth. Two Fills, of course, is going to Turfway to run. Mm-hmm. Interesting move by Ravelli to, I think, take a little bit of a path of lesser resistance.
Yeah.
And going, and you would think with all his experience in Chicago and Arlington, he knows, you know, what kind of a horse. He also ships up to Woodbine. He knows what kind of horse likes.
And it's a synthetic.
Synthetic. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I'll trust his judgment. And then there's also the two horses that were a very narrow 1-2 coming out of that allowance race that was faster than the Risen Star. Dennington and for McPeak, and Cagliostro for Cherie DeVoe.
Mm-hmm.
You got the two of them to consider in here. So it's sort of a mix and match, but I think the out-of-towners, you know, the ones that, when I say out-of-town, I mean Instant Coffee has been there all winter for Al Gold and Cox, but I think you do want outsiders first and foremost.
I think you gotta be cognizant of which of these horses are gonna stay the trip. It's a mile and 3/16.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And now Instant Coffee is going a mile and 3/16 off a big layoff.
That's true. That's true. But Cox, Cox's numbers off of general layoffs, obviously not too many opportunities to, you know, to come in off layoffs to go what is just under the Preakness distance.
But, I mean, he's got like 10 contenders, isn't he?
He does. He's stacked. He's stacked. This Jace's Road, the quality is a quality road out of a Silver Deputy mare.
He wants to go long.
Yeah.
Now he's owned by our client, Alba.
In partnership with West Point.
Yeah.
$510,000 Keeneland Yearling.
Mm-hmm.
Bred by Santulli.
Yeah. So Alba's got this horse. They've got Angel of Empire.
Right.
And they've got Cyclone Mischief.
Not a bad way to go into April.
You want to go in with a bunch of contenders, right? And hope you can get to the race.
Louisiana Derby, a couple of other horses before we take the break. Steve Asmussen has got two in here that are making stakes debuts, Sid. And Mandy Pope and the Three Chimney Homebred out of Stop Charging Maria, that's mm-hmm. Shopper's Revenge, draws the rail and ran okay in that allowance off the maiden win. That was at Oaklawn.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also got an allowance winner of Winchell's, Winchell Homebred, the Gun Runner out of the Tappet Mare.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a horse that may relish this distance.
Yeah.
Disarm.
Yeah.
A couple of mid-80 buyers. And in fact, Bayard going 7/8, breaking the maiden. I've forgotten about this horse. Disarm broke the maiden at Saratoga going 7/8 with an 86 buyer,
mm-hmm.
Which is a good number in this crop at that time, and then came back, didn't win in the, couldn't chase down that Two Eagles River, who's okay.
Yeah.
So Disarm, and I don't know if we have, when I checked this morning, we did not have a morning line. Let's see if one has materialized since, out of curiosity. There was some, I did receive some speculative, it has.
Mm-hmm.
It has. Here we go. Beautiful.
Let's see what this morning
lands. That's, now we want to, wait a minute, maybe not. I'm just realizing that was, no, it is not, it's not been published, but I know it's forthcoming, I'll say that. All right, so I guess it'll be later today. I'm very curious what a horse like Disarm might end up in here on the line. We talked about those two. All right. Oh, I got to mention Neil Pessin's horse, Baseline Beater, who
he's one of our clients too, Bob Lothenbach.
Bob Lothenbach. Mm-hmm. Well, and hard not to root. Hard
Bob's
not to root.
Bob's been having a great meet.
Very much,
ground.
Right?
Yeah, I think he might be in the running for top owner. I know he's had 8 or 9 winners there.
Outstanding. Outstanding. All right, yeah. Let me do this. I told Casey bottom of the hour we were trying to coordinate the break. So, Case, let's do that. Send it to we've been taking one break a morning here. Today's been a little bit more sedate, actually. Monday and Tuesday were, mm-hmm. It's funny, when I pulled in this morning into the park, I could tell parking lot was a little thinner than the first 2 days.
Exactly. By the way, I put a picture on Twitter of you with working here at Ocala.
Thank you.
I didn't tag you, but
all right. I will.
Just so people understand how this operation works. I mean, it's an amazing operation. You carry all this stuff.
Yeah.
You don't carry this table, do you?
No, no. Although I do. I would. I think I got to get one of these kinds of. Look at this nice OBS. Wrapping cloth.
Yeah.
I think I got to find out where they get these. There's even like a plastic
you
clip.
Can have at the races.
Exactly. Put the logo on it.
Yeah, put the logo on it.
Put a bird on it.
And, it's very impressive. You carry this equipment around. You got all your paperwork here. A lot of people don't understand how this sausage gets made. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm always amazed, bro, when I see this stuff. It's like, how does he have everything organized like this? You got the paperwork, that board.
The codec.
Yeah.
It's a codec. Tyline. Mixer.
I mean.
Yeah. Plug and. Plug and play.
Got everything, and then on top of that, you got that dress shirt with your initials on.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm here in a jean jacket and a t-shirt.
Did you take the bike up?
No. I drove up because I was going to that party, and there's no way I would have been able to drive my bike home after that. Last night.
Fair enough. Sid Fernando with us. I'm gonna scout around and see if we can't find Sakura. He said before things get started, it is 10:30. So it could be that that he's on his way like now.
Yeah, but isn't Sakura kind of unreliable?
isn't
he an unreliable narrator?
He's mercurial.
Yeah. Definitely mercurial. That goes without saying. I get the biggest kick every time I see that
guy. He's the greatest.
He hasn't changed in I've known him for over 30 years. He hasn't changed. He looks exactly the same as he did 30 years ago.
It's that hockey heritage. It's the lace him up. Put on the foil. Put him on the foil, coach.
We got a smile here from Jimmy.
We're going to take our only break of the morning, day three of OBS, and they're starting to wander in here. Brad Cox has been like back and forth. I've seen Brad repeatedly. Should probably grab him. He owes me a visit. Back after this to OBS.
It's At the Races with Steve.